The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
I want to begin this message by giving you the title. I've entitled this sermon, The Roots of Our Faith. Many church groups today are diligently seeking out what they are calling the Jewish roots of Christianity. So I think with that we need to ask, just what does that phrase mean? I mean, does it infer that the Jewish faith is something that we need to follow? Does the phrase suggest that Christianity has Jewish teachings as its doctrinal source? Does it mean that Christianity somehow grew out of Judaism? Or does the reference to Jewish roots merely mean that things such as the fact that the early church leaders were mostly Jewish, meaning Peter, Paul, James, John, Barnabas, and others? So, brethren, let us examine the question, are the roots of our faith really centered in and around Judaism? Were the laws and customs of the Jewish faith some 2,000 years ago welcomed in the early church and passed on as doctrine? And brethren, please understand, this question is becoming more and more important as we see more and more groups of disciples who have begun to adopt more and more of the Jewish approach. For example, there are some groups where their leaders who are now wearing the garb of Aaron, who was the first high priest in the Old Covenant. And also there is a small but growing segment of disciples who are beginning to be taken in by this anomaly. So we ask, does the Bible address any of these issues? The 15th chapter of the book of Acts addresses some of the issues that are significant and understanding what was and what was not required of the Jews and the Gentiles that God was calling in the first century. In essence, brethren, the council that met in Acts 15, which was around 49-50 AD, there's controversy, was it 49-50, but right in that area, included some people, Jews of course, who were basically suggesting that a person had to become a Jew before becoming a Christian. And of course, from that conference, and we have it in Acts 15, that idea was refuted. In fact, what we actually find here is certain requirements of Judaism were referred to as yokes. Now, go with me to Acts 15. Acts 15, we're going to read verses 4 through 12. Acts 15, verse 4 through 12, and I'm going to read this out of the New International Version, the NIV. When they came to Jerusalem, primarily this is referring to Paul and Barnabas and a group of others who had come with them to address this particular issue of, does a Gentile must first have to become a Jew before he can become a Christian? So when they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and elders, to whom they reported everything God had done through them. The them here is referring to Paul and Barnabas. Verse 5. Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, "The Gentiles must be circumcised and required to keep the law of Moses." In essence, what they were saying is they must become Jewish first. Verse 6, the apostles and elders met to consider this question. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. "Brothers, you know that some time ago God made a choice among you that the Gentiles must hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving them the Holy Spirit to them just as he did to us." And there's a lot of details we can put in there and show all of this to be an accurate statement that Peter is saying. Verse 9. "He, God, did not discriminate between us and them," between us and them, between us, Jews, and between them, Gentiles. "For he, God, purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved just as they are." The whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them. So, brethren, as we look at this topic, I believe it is important to remember that some of the requirements and the customs and the teachings of the Jewish religion at the time of the early church were considered to be heavy for people to do. So, let us consider, is all or only part of the Jewish faith the key influence to the faith once delivered? Now, go with me to the book of Jude. There's only one chapter, verse 3, Jude 1, verse 3, if you want to call it that, Jude, verse 3. "Beloved, now I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which once was delivered unto the saints." So let me ask, when did the Jewish faith come into existence? And what is it anyway? I think most of us realize that Jews tend to trace their belongings or their beginnings all the way back to Abraham and to the giving of the law by Moses. Then over the decades and actually over the centuries, the Jewish faith evolved. Over time, the life of a faithful Jew looked very different from what gave to Abraham and to Moses. So now let me ask, did the Church of God and our faith come into being 2,000 years ago? Or do the roots of our faith and the Church of God go back much further? Jesus, in his early earthly ministry, did not he point out major differences with the Jewish observances, their set of doctrines, and many of the Jewish traditions? And the answer is, yes, he did. Go with me to Matthew 15 and verse 9. "But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Now, you can read all of the context, but that's the verse that actually states this. We also understand, and I think it's good to point it out even here, that the genealogy of Jesus is presented in the New Testament, and it becomes very clear that his lineage goes back to King David, who was, in fact, of a Jewish descent. It is certain that we have a Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was a full-blooded Jewish male. Yet, is our faith from a full-blooded Jewish perspective? The faith once delivered and the true doctrines of the New Testament do seem to share a common beginning with Judaism, and yet at the same time, that is not the same as coming out of the roots of Judaism. And yes, there are similarities in the fact that the Church of God recognizes the Old Testament as the Word of God. It would be far more accurate to say that we share a few aspects of doctrine. However, please also realize this is not the same thing as saying that the Church of God has grown out of the roots of Judaism. I mean, please realize, God had the Church of God in mind well before the giving of the Ten Commandments, the statutes, and the judgments that we find back in Exodus 20 through 24. Our roots of our faith go back to Abraham, whom God calls the father of the faithful. Now, it's obvious that we would point out that the physical descendants came first. So yes, Judaism and the Church of God do share some common elements. Remember, God promised great blessings to Abraham's physical and spiritual descendants. God also promised these same great blessings through his son Isaac, who in turn had two sons, Esau and Jacob. Then God chose Jacob's sons and as heirs of those same great promises that God had promised to Abraham. And then got passed on to Isaac, and now it's passed on to Jacob. In time, God changed Jacob's name to Israel, which means overcomer with God. Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel's sons, grew into a great nation consisting of 12 tribes. You see that in Genesis 49, verses 1 through 28. And I guess you can already tell that I'm somewhat going through a history to bring it up to date is what I'm doing without reading a lot of the verses, but they're there. Now, that great nation was called Israel. At Mount Sinai, God gave a national covenant, somewhat we would call like a marriage covenant with Israel. The nation continued to grow as God blessed and protected it. Then eventually this family of 12 tribes became a kingdom. Then, during the reign of Rehoboam, King David's grandson, the nation of Israel split into two nations, and we can see that in 1 Kings 12. The larger part of the splitting of the nation, the kingdom of Israel, divided into two different kingdoms, the larger part consists mostly of the 10 tribes. They retained the name Israel. The smaller part became known as Judah. Now, I know you know this, but I'm trying to still paint a picture for us that we know, but I'm trying to get it down to answering our original question. Then later, the term Jew was attached to these people. You see, the first use of the word Jew in the Bible is in 2 Kings 16. And then other times after that, they would refer to Jews and their meaning, the tribes of the smaller kingdom, which is known as Judah. Then we also know that in time, Israel, the larger kingdom, went into an Assyrian captivity. And as a result of that, the Assyrians started transporting the Jews or the Israelites out of the land of Israel somewhere around 734 BC, in effect scattering many of the tribes, the families, and the individuals. And as we know through history, they really were lost as such as a kingdom ever after that. Accounts of the Assyrian captivity can be found in 2 Kings. Because of blatant idolatry, because of Sabbath breaking, and because of other grievous sins, God put away, and you could use the word divorce, this part of Jacob's sons. Israel, the northern kingdom, lost their national identity, and many of the tribes lost much knowledge about their culture and their religious heritage. Many of those people today would not consider themselves to be either Israelites or Jews. In fact, many of them would probably consider themselves to be Gentiles, as referred to in the Bible. Later, in 587 BC, much of the nation of Judah also went into captivity into Babylon, remaining in captivity for 70 years. Now, you can see that they were going to be prophesied to be in captivity 70 years in Jeremiah 25 and in 2 Chronicles 36. Only a few remained in Jerusalem in Israel. However, the kingdom of Judah retained their identity as a nation, and God did not divorce these descendants of Jacob. When their captivity ended, the nation of Judah returned to the land that had become known as Israel. Then after the centuries passed, the Jews, who really are the descendants of the tribe of Judah, Levi, and half of a tribe of Benjamin, who had returned from Babylon, they assumed the name Israel. By the time of Jesus' birth, who was obviously their long-awaited Messiah, who the people did not accept as the Messiah in general, the people in the land of Israel were referred to both as Israelites and as Jews. Some of the families still held onto information regarding their tribal lineage. We know this because notice what Jesus called Nathanael, who was one of the original apostles. It's in John 1 and verse 47. John 1 verse 47. An Israelite in whom was no guile. Now, he would have been referred to then by most of the people as being a Jew. But Jesus referred to him as an Israelite because they maintained both words. Paul, the apostle, recounts his lineage as through the tribe of Benjamin. We see that in Philippians 3. Philippians 3, verse 3. Philippians 3, verse 3. For we are the circumcision. Now, already, you have to understand, the circumcision were referred to at that time as being the Jews. Anyone who was not circumcised would have been referred to, you know, as a Gentile or as a heretic or whatever, but they certainly would have been Jews and Gentiles. And he says, we who are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks that he has somewhat whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. All of these people of Israel also, it was referred to as Judah and Palestine, were physical descendants of Abraham through Jacob. Now, I'm going back to the time when Jesus walked the earth and when Paul was there, that period in time. They referred to themselves as both Jewish or as Israelites. They also could have been referred to as Hebrews because of Abraham's background. He came from the land of Heber. Jesus was clearly a descendant of the tribe of Judah through his mother, Mary, or is probably more accurate, her name was Miriam. He lived as a Jew. He followed many Jewish customs and celebrations, national festivals like the Feast of Dedication, which you see in John 10, verse 22 and 23. Jesus was fervently following the sacred scriptures. Even though he came in conflict with certain traditions that conflicted with God's word, Jesus refused to abolish the law or the prophets. Jesus was Jewish. Matthew 5:17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. And he's primarily meaning the Old Testament. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Now, since the time that Jesus worked on earth, God is now building another nation. His spiritually begotten sons populate this very important nation being prepared by God. These are also called descendants of Abraham because of the faith God grants believers. Galatians 3:29. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. These believers are spiritual Israel because we would truly be overcomers or prevailers with God, which is what the name means. When God changed Jacob's name to Israel, he was an overcomer with God. And God took that name and put it on, and he has today placed it on spiritual descendants. Brethren, please understand, the doctrines and confessions of faith true believers now profess come to us from God our Father through Jesus Christ, whether we are physical descendants of Abraham or not. Today, it is much more important to be a spiritual son and member of spiritual Israel. You see, brethren, God has ordained that peoples of every nation, tribe, and tongue will come to know and to trust Him. Revelation 5 and verse 9. Revelation 5, verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Yet sadly, some of the physical descendants of Abraham do not know their long-promised Savior or his Father. Yet, as we see, in time, they will be given that as an opportunity to know the Savior and to know who God is. About 2,000 years ago, Jesus walked among his fleshly relatives. He taught the sacred scriptures that were inspired by God, that were written down by faithful Israelites and/or Jews. God used faithful Jews to preserve and protect the Holy Scriptures. And Jewish scribes meticulously copied the text to ensure and to safeguard the accuracy of the words of God. Jewish men are also largely are the writers of the New Testament. Perhaps all of the books of the New Testament were penned by Jews, and there is a controversy, maybe, except those that were written by Luke, because some considered that Luke was probably a Gentile. That's up for debate. I actually believe that the scripture is not clear enough to state that he was either Jew or Gentile, and so I would lean more to the fact that he is Jewish than Gentile. Now, that's me, because it's not stated in scripture one way or the other, but many commentaries say, oh, he was a Gentile. Okay, show me the evidence in scripture. We don't have it. Early believers and true disciples of Jesus were Jewish. The first apostles were Jews. We know that God gathered a small group of about 120 people in the upper room in Jerusalem, and he sent the Holy Spirit to inaugurate the church and began building his new holy nation. People who were either Jewish or Jewish proselytes heard and saw the great miracles taking place on Pentecost, and you see that in Acts chapter 2. God added many other believers to the church on the day of Pentecost. These Jewish believers were told to go forth with good news, spreading God's word, starting from Judea, then to Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the world. That's in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts 1 verse 8. "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth." Not going into why he says start here and then to Judah and then to Samaria, not even going into all of that and then the uttermost part. But he does, and there's a reason for that too. So today, believers of all physical nations are also referred to as spiritual Jews. If they are, true believers today. Salvation is of the Jews. Jesus said so. John 4, verse 22. John 4, 22. "You worship you know not what." We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Please understand, God intends that Jew and Gentile become fellow citizens, members of the household of God, who will grow into a holy temple in the Lord, we must become one. To do this, Jews will have to become disciples of Jesus. The point is, Jewishness will not suffice. Ephesians 2, verse 19. Ephesians 2, 19. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. So, brethren, in trying to bring this to a summation, believers, we need to be thankful to God that he has used the physical descendants of Abraham in bringing Jesus through a Jewish lineage, and in the writing and in the preserving of the scriptures, and in the spreading the good news to the early church through the outreach of many Jewish people. Yet, please know, our roots go directly back to Jesus and to his Father, not to Judaism. Today, there are only a small number of Jewish people who realize and accept Jesus as Messiah. Now, over the years, I've been able to meet many of these people. We even have some that are Jewish nationality back that came out of Judaism that actually may consider themselves part of this congregation who listen on the phone or the internet. God has, in type, cut off the natural branches of the tree, meaning the physical Jews and other Israelites. That's why so many people in this country who are Israelites today in this country do not know that they are Israelites. They believe they're Gentiles. That's what I was referring to earlier. By bringing in the Gentiles, God has grafted in wild branches, meaning the Gentiles. However, the natural branches will eventually be grafted back in. Romans 11 and verse 17, the A part of the verse. Romans 11, verse 17. And if some of the branches be broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in. He's talking about Jew and Gentile. In essence, the Jews will have to become part of the same root where the Gentiles now enjoy God's nourishment. So, brethren, please understand, the roots of the Christian faith that was once delivered, today is directly from God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We have to be rooted and grounded in his love. And please understand, we are not required to learn or to follow Jewish teachings except as they coincide with the Bible, because there are many that don't. And there, like I said, there are more and more groups that would consider themselves to be part of the Church of God who are getting away from the Bible and taking in Jewish customs and Jewish traditions and Jewish teachings that are contrary to the Scriptures. The truth is, Jews will have to follow this Savior that their ancestors rejected centuries ago. They must learn and accept his teachings. the writing and preservation of Holy Scripture and the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ are all intricately connected to Jews whom God has used down through the ages. Now, however, God is working through the spiritual descendants of Abraham who follow Jesus. So, in essence, true Christianity does not have Jewish roots. However, we must all become spiritual Jews. Romans 2, verse 28. Romans 2, 28. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. You don't have to be today a physical Jew to be part of the people of God, as he did in the Old Testament. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. The Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Today, that's us, the spiritual Jews. God bless all of you. Happy Sabbath.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.